government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019, getting into the week here. And we have got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Sam is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, opinions, jokes, whatever you want to share with us here today. So let's get into the news here. As you know, yesterday there was a major, shall we say, confrontation between Israel and Syria. And Israel came on out and uncharacteristically announced that, yes, they had attacked targets inside Syria, insisting that they were all Iranian targets. Well, it turns out that in point of fact, Israel hit Syrian military assets inside Iran. They're claiming that Syria fired at them, that Israel had warned them not to interfere with attacks on Iranian forces. And so there was definitely an exchange there. So Israel destroyed 8 Syrian air defense targets. They killed 11 troops. This is getting awfully close to being outright open war. And again, I applaud Presidents Assad and Putin for trying to keep this thing from escalating, but it looks like Israel is really pushing hard on this, and it may very well, because Netanyahu needs a distraction. He's facing imminent indictment. He's got upcoming elections, and his primary rival is already out there campaigning on a war platform about how they bombed Gaza back to the Stone Age, rah, rah, rah. You know, killing Palestinians is good politics in Israel here. But apparently Israel airstrikes destroyed 8 Syrian air defense batteries, killed 11 troops in the system. But interestingly enough, the S-300s were not used, and I think I know why. But a lot of people are saying, you know, these attacks also included strikes into an area near Damascus, near the international airport. Now, Moscow has apparently sent a message to Tel Aviv that it is planning on renovating the Damascus International Airport, which has suffered a lot of damage over the many, many attacks. And Russia is telling Israel further attacks by Israel will not be welcomed, which is a very polite, gentle way of saying that Israel is standing at the edge of a red line. Meanwhile, of course, there was a massive onslaught, and Syria shot down more than 30 Israeli cruise missiles and guided bombs. And I think Israel carried out this massive attack to try and goad Syria into using the S-300 system, and had Syria fallen for it and used up these very expensive S-300 missiles on guided bombs and loitering munitions and cruise missiles, I suspect Israel would have followed up with a major attack. I think that's the reason for what was going on there. Israel, of course, on their Twitter channel, put out a video showing how they destroyed a Syrian Pantsir S air defense system that was firing on them. But it turns out the clip was edited, and Israel took video from 2 separate videos. The one showing the actual strike on the Pantsir air defense system shows that it was inactive at the time. The system was not firing. The radar was disabled. There was a loading vehicle next to it, and it looks like the IDF basically hit a system. It spent all of its ammunition, was waiting for reloading, which from the tactical point of view is the best time to hit it. But then to sell the idea that Israel was only firing on units that fired on them, clearly that was not true. Now, Israeli policy for attacking targets in Syria seems to have changed, and it is intensifying. This is coming from Intelligence Minister Israel Katz in an interview with Army Radio. It does look like it's escalating. And this Minister Katz said that Israel is in open confrontation with Iran in Syria, and they want all of the Iranian troops out. So does Mike Pompeo. Says, we're going to drive all the Iranian boots out. Iran maintains that all they've sent are military advisors and, of course, material support, which is what Israel keeps attacking and blowing up. But at the rate Israel is going right now, they could be facing a three-front war this year. This is coming from the Institute for National Security Studies, saying that the situation is so volatile, it could lead Israel to have a war against Iran, a war against Hezbollah, and the Palestinians all at the same time. Now, Israel certainly has the weaponry to do that, but it would be a bit of a stress with at least two of the three opponents so close to home, as it were. Turning over to Syria, as you know, there was that Manbij bombing, supposedly terror bombing, that was just too cutely timed to Trump's announcement of a Syrian troop withdrawal. And of course, you've got a split on both sides, with the war hawks saying, well, see, this proves ISIS isn't defeated. We have to stay until the bitter end here. And on the other camp, you have everybody else saying that this bombing should not derail the Syria withdrawal, that these Americans who were killed in Syria show the cost in blood of delaying the withdrawal. So they're still arguing back and forth about that. But again, going on back, why would ISIS want to do anything to prevent the U.S. from withdrawing? That's why this whole bombing thing never really made any sense. ISIS wants the U.S. gone. They want them out of there. ISIS didn't have a motive to carry out that bombing. Okay, over on the Kurdish border, apparently a U.S. Kurdish patrol was attacked inside Syria. Erdogan is offering to step on in. Basically, there's a growing security vacuum in Syria, supposedly predicated upon Trump's decision to withdraw U.S. troops, which now appears Trump is backing down on that. But apparently this bomber targeted a joint patrol by U.S. forces and the Kurdish-dominated Syrian Democratic Forces, which is backed by the United States, and carried out the attack here. Now, apparently, Turkish President Erdogan phoned Donald Trump and urged him to let Turkey control Kurdish Syria. Now, there's a very tricky move. Basically, Erdogan is trying to act like he's the hero running to the rescue of the poor retreating Americans here. But we already know from Afrin that Turkey has territorial ambitions inside Syria, and this would be a major step forward for them to seize military control of Kurdish Syria. And then once entrenched, it would be very, very difficult for them to get on out. Erdogan was also saying that they're not going to allow the so-called Syria safe zone to turn into a swamp. And they're basically comparing this newly created safe zone in Syria to be the one, just like the one in northern Iraq, where U.S.-backed Kurdish militants launch attacks on Turkish soil. Now, here's a very, very interesting story. Apparently, the U.S. is threatening to sanction Lebanon if they participate in rebuilding Syria. And why would the U.S. want to do that? Well, because there's money to be made in rebuilding Syria. There's money to be made loaning Syria, money to rebuild, and then sending in American contractors and corporations to do the rebuilding. That's part of the payoff of a war. Certainly was in the case of Iraq. And that may be the reason why there are so many people in Washington, D.C. don't want the United States to leave Syria. We would be losing that final payoff. We've lost a huge amount of money in Syria but we could cut our losses by basically taking control of the rebuilding of Syria, because that's the way it works. Spend a bunch of money blowing up a country, then go into the country and say, we're going to loan you the money to rebuild, and you've got to use our people to do it. So that is why the U.S. may be threatening to sanction Lebanon. They don't want anybody else in there but the U.S. And this will bring us into conflict with Russia, which has already indicated they're planning on taking part of the rebuilding of Syria. So it's all about the money, all about the money. And if you look at Iraq's reconstruction, huge amounts of money went on in there. And the quality of the reconstruction was horrible. It was just all about making the money. I remember this one story about how the U.S. was building a new police station for the Iraqi police. It wasn't even finished before it began to fall apart and couldn't be used. Now, up in Afghanistan, things are still not going well. The U.S. war in Afghanistan is continuing to fail. Remember, empire, a graveyard of empires here. And according to this article coming out of of Alabama, the main problems are disunity of command and lack of political foresight. And they're basically predicting the U.S. will lose Afghanistan, and so am I. Now, disunity of U.S. command, that, of course, is a problem with the Pentagon, which, like the government as a whole, has become badly factionalized. Everybody's looking out for their own interests. There is no strong chain of command over there. Lack of political foresight, that gets right to the administration and the State Department. And lack of political foresight has been a curse on this government for year after year after year after year. They keep going with what sounds great in a corporate media news broadcast, and they don't think it all the way through. And that's why they keep getting into these messes. Not too long ago, there was a bit of a stink where security personnel in Gaza intercepted a group of Israeli agents trying to pretend to be Hamas driving into Gaza. And they were arrested, and the Palestinians rolled up a major Israeli spy operation inside Gaza. Now it's come on out what they were up to. Apparently, they were in there planting spying devices on Hamas communications network. And they botched it. It's a botched operation here. Meanwhile, over in Jerusalem, once again, Israeli settlers and Israeli forces have stormed into the Al-Aqsa Mosque. This happened just yesterday. And this time, they not only photographed the mosque's landmarks, they were taking measurements. And they didn't explain why they were doing that. It's got a lot of people scratching their head. What the heck is going on? But apparently Israeli settlers storm the holy site on a daily basis in an attempt to divide the mosque temporally and spatially. They just want it to go away. I mean, so much blood has been spilled over this one hill. Everybody says, oh, it's our holy site. Oh, it's our holy site. Well, anyway. As I mentioned before, Benny Gantz, he's the former Israeli army chief. He is now campaigning to be Israel's next prime minister. He's going up against Benjamin Netanyahu in the elections that are scheduled for April. His campaign videos are out there, and it shows videos of the death and destruction all over Gaza. And that's what he's campaigning on, that he bombed Gaza back to the Stone Age. Screen announces 6,231 targets destroyed and 1,364 terrorists killed. Now, to the Israeli mindset, everybody's a Palestinian is by default a terrorist, including the little tiny kids who get hit by those bullets over there on the right of return march here. Now, the United States and Poland have organized what they're describing as an international conference on the Middle East. And apparently the agenda for this conference is dealing with Iran's nuclear ambitions. Not too surprisingly, Iran was not invited. And Russia basically said this was just for political gain and propaganda purposes, so they are not sending anybody else either. Now, there's been a new development in the Sergei Skripal case. And for those of you who don't remember it, that was the case where this former double agent who worked for Russia and Great Britain and his daughter were found unconscious on a bench. And immediately there was this claim that Russia had tried to assassinate them on British sovereign territory. And the story was very suspicious. When it first came on out, the story was they got sick while eating at a restaurant and that other people at the restaurant had gotten ill as well. And the restaurant in question serves seafood, especially shellfish, which if you are not careful, shellfish can lead to serious food poisoning. Setting that aside, the new story is that the very first medical attention that the Skripals received was from a British military colonel, Chief Nursing Officer Allison McCourt, and her 16-year-old daughter, Abigail. And Russia is saying, this just seems to be a little too much of a coincidence. But here's the interesting thing about the story. According to this article, which came out in Sputnik News, the teenager, Abigail, saw Sergei Skripal collapse on a bench, and she applied her first aid skills that she had learned at school, apparently then backed up by her mother. Now, we've all been told that Novichok is the most toxic nerve agent in the world, although both Sergei and Yulia survived. Apparently, the problem of secondary contamination is very high. So why didn't this little girl get sick after she supposedly touched the Skripals? If she'd come into contact with any part of their body that had been in contact with Novichok, she would have been in serious, serious trouble. Now, Russia is saying that the reason Great Britain is trying to fan up the Skripal case again is to try and divert attention away from the chaos taking place over in Parliament over the Brexit decision. And that would actually make a great deal of sense. Down in South America, down in Venezuela, there was a failed attempt at a military coup. And Maduro is still in control. And Mike Pence is now out there in public urging the people of Venezuela to rise up against the dictator Maduro. And of course, they're out there basically saying, well, we know Maduro's reelection had to be flawed. You know, we've got all these countries. We refuse to recognize the election. It's really none of your business. It's up to the people of Venezuela here. But apparently there is a major problem within the government here. The National Assembly, of course, is led by Maduro's opposition. They literally tried to declare Maduro illegitimate. Maduro went to Venezuela's Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court declared the leadership of the opposition-controlled National Assembly as illegitimate and all of its decisions void for trying to repudiate the presidency of Maduro. This is going to end in a civil war. And of course, you just know the United States is government is in this up to their necks. They've been trying to get Venezuela into the empire, going all the way back to Hugo Chavez. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And if you would like to support Republic Broadcasting, and trust me, we need it. Nobody's getting rich here in the independent media. Anybody who is getting rich in the independent media means they sold out to somebody somewhere. So we rely on your support to keep us going, to keep replacing the badly needed equipment, to keep paying, you know, the server fees and the connection fees and all the stuff that goes into running an online broadcast outfit here. So if you can help, the postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity, cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can call in with a credit or debit donation or pledge to be a recurring subscriber is 800-724-2719, extension 1 during business hours, extension 3 at all other time. The network thanks you. Okay, let's turn to the domestic politics. Now, here's an interesting little story, and this is coming from aimfortruth.org, claiming that somebody on the inside of Robert Mueller's investigation has leaked a copy of the forthcoming final report. And there's nothing there. I mean, the 26 indicted Russian names have been sent to the Department of Justice National Security Division for follow-up. They're not going to come on over. I mean, they sent lawyers, but they're not going to come over here. Concord Catering and Yevgeny Prigozhin are still fighting the special counsel investigation. They seem to be winning. Papadopoulos spent a few nights in jail. Paul Manafort, of course, is in serious trouble. Flynn was harassed and threatened. He may spend a few days in jail due to being entrapped and accused of lying. But that's it. The original scope of the investigation, they found nothing. Absolutely nothing. More than $30 million for the special counsel investigation. All they really found was Manafort's tax evasion. That was it. So let's look at some specifics. Apparently, two prostitutes paid by David Brock's Media Matters lying about Trump, and another prostitute busted out of a jail in Thailand and then arrested by Russia. No evidence was ever presented. And the one in Thailand has already gone public saying, yeah, she just made it up to get out of that jail in Thailand here. Now, Michael Cohen's lies about prostitutes, which got a guilty plea for campaign election irregularities, there was no evidence for that either. And by the way, that's not a crime. Fake letter about lifting sanctions on Russia given by Cohen to Trump. The letter was not delivered to Trump. And apparently, Felix Satter, Comey's FBI asset, wrote the letter with Comey's help. They fabricated evidence there. An alleged Russian internet troll fact that had closed down 2 years before the 2016 election. They indicted some imaginary names. They don't even know who was there. Mueller is out there trying to blame the DNC hacking on just about everybody. It's a shotgun approach. Julian Assange, Russia, Guccifer 2.0, Romanian hackers, Kim.com, Alexander Gubarev, among others. No Russian hacker was ever found. And don't forget, the metadata on those files show it was not taken out over the internet. Somebody on the inside copied it to a flash drive and walked it out the door. Most likely Seth Rich here. So that's it. If this leak is accurate, Mueller found nothing, and that may explain why the corporate media is out there still trying to sell Russiagate, 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 Russiagate. They're hoping people will believe the lie even when the truth comes on out, because that's an advantage the corporate media has. People will get the first bit of news about a subject. Oh, my goodness, those terrible children at Covington. And even when the truth comes on out, they won't reverse. They don't want to admit that they were wrong, which is a terrible weakness in the human condition. Okay, Jerome Corsi has come up with a very interesting explanation for why it is that Robert Mueller's office issued that statement last Friday denying the BuzzFeed report that Michael Cohen had testified that Donald Trump ordered him to lie to Congress. Corsi is basically saying that Mueller's office was trying to basically spread that as fake news. And then BuzzFeed picked it up and turned it into a major, major issue. And Mueller backtracked basically to save his own rear end and cover up the fact that his office was the source. Now, Corsi has amended his lawsuit against Mueller. He's expanded it to include Jeff Bezos and The Washington Post, and is now asking for over $1 billion. And I hope he gets it here. All righty. We're coming up here on another commercial break, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Huh. homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And we're talking about BuzzFeed. And as you know, BuzzFeed was seriously embarrassed going with that story that claimed Trump had ordered Michael Cohen to lie to Congress. And it's not their first embarrassment. And I think we need to start realizing BuzzFeed is not really about reporting the facts. They're about pushing agendas. And apparently, a while back, founder and CEO Jonah Peretti created a fake website and email address in the name of a prominent gun rights advocate, John Lott, in order to spread disinformation. So BuzzFeed is in the business of lying to you, and they're paid quite handsomely to do that. All right, let's go to the phones here. Dustin in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Mike Pence, you know, he sounds like, you know, the Venezuelan people need to overthrow Maduro and bring democracy. Yeah, it's the same. The left is saying we need to bring, you know, get rid of Hitler, Trump, and overthrow that, you know, that dictator Trump.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, Pence is actually justifying, you know, the overthrow of the government. Of course, that's what they're trying to do here in this country, is get rid of Trump.
Yeah, I mean, people might not like Maduro, but who the hell are we to say, or, you know, what business is of ours? Who are we to say it was legitimate or not legitimate, you know? Ask Bernie Sanders what was legitimate and not legitimate. You know, I mean, come on, man. This whole thing's a joke. You know, and Mike, I think Mike Pence might have tipped the Venezuelans off, because he mentioned that the opposition guy's name, and didn't they bust their, you know, to try to steal a bunch of weapons, and they got caught? So
yeah,
maybe they
yeah.
knew, yes, you know, so maybe actually helped the Venezuelan government out by letting them know something, you know, we're going to try to pull this, and you know, we're gonna, you know, and then they acted because they know who the opposition party is over there. You know, I mean, it's
yes.
I bet you it's pro EU.
Well,
South
I'm
America,
sure it's,
you know,
it's already been co-opted, you know, by CIA, which is, you know, in the business of overthrowing foreign governments.
Yeah, but like I said, like what business? I mean, my God, we got rotting infrastructure still here. Nothing's getting done. You know, they find time to mention Maduro being a dictator. How come they're not finding time to find any money to fix our rotting infrastructure? Mike Pence is not a good person. I don't care if some people think he's just part of the machine. You know, goes along with the, you know, the talking points, or you know, and the same with Bolton and Pompeo. And I don't even know if Trump is on our side anymore. I mean, do you at this point?
I think Trump is proving himself to be very weak and easy to control here. And the harsh reality is the United States is in a wartime economy, which is basically all available wealth goes to the war machine and everything else is put on hold, repairing the roads, repairing the dams, repairing the bridges, improving education, all of that stuff. They say, we'll deal with that after victory. And then, of course, if you don't win the war, things get really bad. And what it's going to come on down to is the government is going to try and find ways to get more and more money out of the American people in order to keep trying to expand its empire across the globe. And they're not really having a lot of luck doing it, and it's turning out to cost a lot more than people were expecting. I mean, we're still stuck in Afghanistan. They're trying to stay stuck in Syria, and it's not going very well.
Are we the longest empire ever to be stuck in Afghanistan at this point? I mean, I think we are. I mean, I don't. How long were the British there? Weren't they there twice?
I don't know the history of Britain in Afghanistan. I know that the last military leader who succeeded in conquering all of it was Alexander the Great, and he only held on to it for 3 years.
And Mike, if I still got time, I want to move over to Christopher Steele with the dirty dossier. I still
yes.
want to remind everybody, Christopher Steele is linked to Skripal. They all worked at this ex-spy firm in Britain. You know, so there's that tie there that the Skripal thing was just a setup, just like the MAGA hat kid in with the, you know, the college kid. He was set up. This whole thing, it's the same playbook, you know, like to blame Russia, to blame Trump, and it's amazing though, Mike. They have the amount of people to pull all these stunts off. You know, I mean,
yes,
it blows my mind what a web. It's definitely a deep state web that spans the world, not just this country. Because if you look with Skripal and Christopher Steele, well, Christopher Steele handed over that dirty fake dossier to what? Didn't he hand it over to John McCain, and John McCain
yes.
handed it over to the media? See?
No, John McCain handed it to the FBI, and I forget who leaked it to the media.
But it's like, yeah, I mean, it's just a shame how, you know, you can find, and, you know, the Skripals will probably never turn up, Mike. They're probably either dead or on some island somewhere. You know, in the British area. But that's all I got to say, Mike.
All right, thank you for the call. That's a major diplomatic faux pas for Great Britain because Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia are still Russian citizens, and Russian diplomats are demanding that Britain allow them to visit the Skripals, and Britain is refusing, and that violates all kinds of treaties and conventions and so forth. So something is going on there. Outside of that one obviously very choreographed video interview with Yulia, they're being held incommunicado if they have not been gotten rid of. So anyway, let's go back to the phones. Joe in Tennessee, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, the last caller was saying, you know, they use the same playbook and they just keep getting away with it. And the reason they get away with it is because of our media. All these false flags, they all should have been blown by the media back to the JFK assassination. But what I think and what I think Trump really needs to do is he needs to show like, he needs to break, open up the books on the CIA and who in the media is on their payroll. I mean, they're his enemy. The CIA is the enemy of the president. Everybody knows it. They were funding the, I'm sure, the whole BuzzFeed stuff and the Independent Counsel. He needs to blow their cover. I'd love to see which one of these guys, these talking heads, and how many of them, that guy with NBC and half of these people are Operation Mockingbird media CIA. And that's why they get away with this. I mean, we're talking about this information because we get our sources. We are independent thinkers. But the average American isn't. The average American turns on the TV to get spoon-fed news by CIA, Mockingbird, mainstream, deep state, corporate media. And that is the main problem. And I'm very disappointed in Trump in that from the beginning, he didn't go after, not just going after the deep state media, but sponsoring and nurturing the alt-right media. He went to Fox and Hannity, who they don't want to help out the little guy in the alt media. They want to keep it corporate and Fox-dominated monopoly. So it's very sad. And I heard just that Sarah Sanders isn't really having many press conferences anymore. And that's, in a way I understand it, but it's a failure on his part for not allowing more right and alt-right media people into those press conferences that would have asked fair questions, that would have asked even pro questions for her, and maybe even questions more about Hillary. But you never got that at a press conference because they let the same stiff in there from the deep state media corporate complex. So
there was also the issue that as the independent media has come under attack with all of this social media deplatforming and the rest of it, Trump scarcely made much noise about it. And Trump has to know that the independent media did play a major role in getting him into that Oval Office by countering all of this horrible propaganda that was being poured all over him by the DNC and by the Hillary Clinton campaign. And now a lot of us are feeling he's turned his back on us. And if he's expecting us to go to bat for him again in 2020, he's going to be sorely disappointed.
Well, I think, you know, he probably feels like, well, where else are they going to go? And that's a big mistake. He really had an opportunity to like I said, to nurture the independent media, to bring it up, to bring it, invite it in, you know. But I think, you know, one of our biggest enemy are the corporate right media like Fox and Hannity and Limbaugh. They really don't take their time to, like, pick up, like, little guys and interview us or give you any like, love or give you any publicity. And that's what you really need to do if you really want to see change in this country. I mean, you don't really – I've noticed that about the right. You know, because I've been listening to all different people through my life, and I really don't see us helping each other out, you know? There's always bickering and fighting. I listen to Alex Jones. Alex Jones could have, like, really helped people and brought him out into the limelight, but he's very controlling. A lot of these guys on right and alt-right are they want to control their little piece of the pie. They don't really want to broaden it. And when they got a foot in the door with Trump, they should be helping other people get into that room and becoming, you know, the new industries and new people, celebrities, so we could have some people that are on TV and, you know, sitting at the table. It's a shame.
Well, it really is. And there was a time when some of the independent media people were getting on TV, but that's those days are gone. We're absolutely, you know, blacklisted. They don't want to hear anything that we have to say. In fact, the New York Times came out with an editorial opinion attacking online critics of vaccine safety and just say, you know, the public health will prevail. No, the corporate profits will prevail. Anything else, Joe?
Well, yeah, I just, you know, one more thing about this story. I remember when Bill Kristol, at one time he was like Dan Quayle's aide, you know. And next thing you know, all of a sudden he's on ABC, he's a talking head out of nowhere. They just take these neocons and they give them this great platform. And you don't see that happening to us. And if anything, we're constantly the white, Christian, you know, heterosexual males or we're slowly being thrown out of the. You can't watch the news programs anymore and see very many white people. CNN, it's all black people. I mean, you'd think this country was 80% black watching CNN now, and it's either black or woman. If it's a white guy, he's a homosexual, and it's really a shame because part of what the Democrats have done is they've demanded a seat on the table for black people, knowing that 90% of black people are left. So when you hear about affirmative action, it's really not about helping races. It's about helping the left.
Yes.
By putting blacks in and putting gays in and putting even women in, it's always like they're always left women. They're always left black. They're always left, you know, gays. So it's really it's an insidious thing because they're not really they don't give a damn about the blacks. They don't give a because look what's happened to them. They haven't improved their life. All they give a damn about is power, and that's their power play. They cloak themselves behind affirmative action, but it's really political action, and it works for them, and it's a disgrace. I'm sorry, I got some passion about this.
Well, that's okay. You know, nothing great is accomplished without passion. And thank you, Joe. We're going to let you go here and switch to Art Off the Grid. Aloha, Art. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, you know, the Democrat Party, the party that just keeps on giving. somebody played for me earlier today a clip of Miss Joy Behr from The View earlier today. And I was just blown away, you know. I mean, you got Whoopi. Who names their child Whoopi? I mean, come on. Whoopi Goldberg, she comes right out and she asks plainly, you know, admitting, you know, that the media is continuously falsely reporting stories, and asks the question, why is it? Why do we keep making the same mistake? And here comes Joy Behr just can't help herself. Because we're so desperate to get Trump out of office. It's like they're admitting they're so desperate that they'll latch
yes.
on to anything, whether it's real or not. And this ought to be the defining moment for the left-wing liberal media.
Well, you know, they're trying the spaghetti approach. They're just throwing handfuls of pasta at the wall and hoping something will stick. And so far, nothing has.
Something's sticking, Mike, but it ain't pasta.
Gotcha. I understand. Anything else, Art?
Have a good one, man.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are open. Pardon me. Now, Steve Bannon is out there making a prediction. Apparently got interviewed in the Daily Mail, saying that Trump will have an opportunity to appoint 2 justices to the Supreme Court. Now, obviously, you know, the speculation that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg may be forced into retirement due to the unfortunate compounding health concern. She's still not on the bench. She's working from home. The current Supreme Court session will end, I think, tomorrow. And then they have about a month off, which is going to be some nice recuperative time for her. We'll see what happens when the Supreme Court reconvenes. But according to the Daily Mail, Steve Bannon is expressing his theory that Justice Clarence Thomas is going to retire. And Thomas is the longest tenured justice currently presiding and only the second African-American to serve on the highest court. Now, he's a strict constitutionalist. And do you remember his confirmation? Oh, man, you know, the pubic hair on the Coke can or something like that. That was before they started calling it the Kavanaugh treatment. Okay, we're going to take another phone call. Tom in Indiana, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. It's good to hear you. I heard on the radio today that somebody chimed in and said that Trump, when he canceled Pelosi's airplane trip, he should have waited till after she was already out of the country and then canceled it. I thought that was pretty funny. The other thing, I've been watching Jeopardy this week, and there's a guy that's been smoking everybody on Jeopardy, and I just wondered how you would do on Jeopardy, man. You have all the answers for almost everything. I'd like to see you get on that show and rack your brains with these people.
Well, I'm not a big fan of TV game shows, even though I did briefly work for Goods and Todman Productions. I don't know. The kind of questions Jeopardy asks are not the ones that I think about a lot here. I think it's a completely different context. And right now, of course, it would be very, very difficult for me to get to their studio anyway, because they're, I think, in Los Angeles, and I'm here in Hawaii.
Well, you have my admiration. Aloha.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you very much, and aloha. And we're going to let you go. All right, we're coming up here on another commercial break, and we will be right back.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354, or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Interesting little bit of a development. We're finally starting to see some GOP spine. And even though they've lost control of the House of Representatives, they do still have control of the Senate. And Devin Nunes, apparently on Fox News, admitted that Hillary Clinton's team, working with Glenn Simpson and Fusion GPS, probably set up the entire Trump Tower meeting as a way of entrapping the campaign. Now, politics is a dirty business, and we don't need any ghosts come from the grave to tell us that. But it is very, very muddy here. Now, Lindsey Graham is the newly appointed chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he is already out there saying it's time to dig into the Clinton and Obama scandals. And, of course, the Democrats are out there saying, oh, politics, politics, politics. You can't go there. That's the third rail. The dragons will come and eat you if you dare do that. But Lindsey Graham is saying that he wants to investigate the FBI's handling of its investigation into Hillary Clinton's private email server, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrant applications, and he wants an investigation into the Democrats' conduct during Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. Pardon me. And he told Fox News last month that he believed the FBI basically phoned in the Clinton probe, noting that there is, quote, a certain unevenness here about how you investigate campaigns, which he's trying to be diplomatic. But he's basically saying what we've already observed. Justice and the FBI, after Trump, after the Republicans. Oh, what about Uranium One? Ah, nothing there. What about mishandling classified documents? Oh, she didn't mean to do wrong. The bias has been very, very obvious for a long time, and I wish Lindsey Graham luck in bringing that out to the awareness of the American people. Now, interestingly enough, last October, former FBI General Counsel James Baker testified to Congress and basically said he believed that Hillary Clinton should have been charged for her alarming, appalling mishandling of classified information. And apparently Baker told Congress he got into arguments with other members of the FBI, including James Comey, about the investigation. And he said, my original belief, after having conducted the investigation and towards the end of it, then sitting down and reading a binder of her materials, I thought that it was alarming, appalling, whatever words I said, and argued with others about why they thought she shouldn't be charged. Now, remember, James Comey actually went on TV in that infamous press conference, and he went down the laundry list of Title 18 felony violations committed by Hillary Clinton, and then he said she didn't mean to do wrong, therefore we're not recommending prosecution. Loretta Lynch said, we accept the FBI's recommendation, Hillary's off the hook. But Title 18 does not require intent. What you mean is irrelevant. Okay, we got to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero?